rank and file, you know, in your prayer groups, you know. And so, because that's how it works. You know, when an order come down, you know, all the soldiers going to start carrying out that order at whatever rank they are. No, you're going to be over here in Timbuktu when we're over here, you know. So anyway, there you have it. So what was I going to say? So anyway, so I didn't get to do 2 Thessalonians 2. So this morning when I got in from the emergency room, you know, I was wide awake because I drank that coffee too late, one of the things. And then, the other thing is, you know, I was mad because you attacked my friend. And anybody that know me, if you're my friend, I'm there to the end. I'm going to be right there with you. And so I was sitting there on the sofa thinking about it. I'm like, I'm kind of ticked off, God, you know. I'm going to attack my friend. Not only is my friend, it's my praying friend. That's a different. I have friends in my life, but then I have praying friends. And this is one of my praying friends. And so I heard the Thessalonians 2 again. And before I could do anything about it, I went to sleep. So I fell asleep, and I hopped up like at 5:30 first this morning. And I was too disoriented to focus. So I thought, okay, I'll lay back down another hour. And I did. I woke up about a little after 6. And then I was going in and out of trance of revelation. And I'll be in my closet, like I was looking for something to wear, and I'm like, and I'm, you know, got my hands and I'm going through, but I'm not going through. All of a sudden, I'm just in this little mini trance, and I'll hear this, and I'll hear that. So I have so much that God brought to me, so I'm believing for utterance to get the right thing out. So let's start with 2 Thessalonians 2, because that's the scripture he took me to again this morning. Oh, but the other thing I want to tell you, not for me, but to tell you how if you get over it, if you do this, for, number one, if you treat this as real and endeavor to give yourself to the Holy Ghost, you can really be very strategic in helping your leadership, helping the church. So Pastor Dwayne came by, was it yesterday? Yes. And I was at my desk, and I was doing what I do. And so he said, oh, yeah, I don't know if you heard from Pastor Terry, but she said for us, everybody to start teaching on authority. You got to be able to, but you got to be real about it. You know, and I don't ever tell her you should preach this. I just told her I got some on authority. Would you come teach us on it? Because I know that's what God said to me. And I didn't, you know, and I didn't, and she asked me to get with Tracy. Well, I knew Tracy was on a rest period, and I thought, I'm not going to bother her right now, but I'll just wait till next week, and I wouldn't bother Tracy. But you see how God will work if you'll work with him. Because this is real. And you don't have to be controlled and pray witchcraft prayers and do all that stuff to try to get your pastor to do something. You just say what God tells you and leave it alone. They, the leadership, she's the pastor, I'm not. But if I get something from God, I share it with her. And if she's known me long enough to know that, I don't try to push anything on them. But you see, that's how it works, and God will trust you with things. But if you try to pray your way, oh, they need to be teaching on this. Well, you don't know what they need to be teaching on, you know. So that's another nugget for particularly the prayer leaders here. We hear him, right? We hear him. So let's talk about you. Let's talk about this church. Let's Let's look at her this morning. Let's look at her and let's get our minds renewed about this church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you this, it's not a weak, it shouldn't be a weak, emaciated church. Amen. Shouldn't be a church hiding out and scared of terrorists, you know, and scared of this and scared of that. So here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, but relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you. Paul didn't say we ask you, we beg you. So we beg you not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed whether by some bombings, some explosive in Austin or either in San Antonio or wherever or you know, or some storms that's trying to come, because you know what? We have some authority. So I added that in there. So whether it be some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by word or by letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. In the man of lawlessness, sin is revealed, who is the son of doom, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and so insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God. And we know he's going to do that, the Antichrist. You know that's going to happen. Proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. Well, there was something that was a restraining force in the earth at that time to keep him from being revealed. That's right. All right. And so what that restraining force did then is the same thing the restraining force has to do now. He said, it is so that he may be manifested in his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. In other words, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our divine responsibility and our divine appointment is to restrain this spirit of lawlessness until we are raptured out of here. And so Paul said, we restrain him back then, and it's the same thing now. You have to restrain it. But you can't restrain it sitting there watching the TV with your Kleenex, wiping tears, and go bragging on what the devil is doing. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, that's that lawless one, that spirit of Antichrist, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. The coming of the lawless one, that Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan. See? The Antichrist spirit is through the activity and the working of Satan. And we looked the other day, well, at my other meeting, at the rank and file of Satan's kingdom. We're going to look at it again today from Rick Renner, because I want you to see and understand how this works, and then we're going to go back and look at how what a real power and authority is in the earth, and that's through the church of the living God. And he said, so this lawlessness is working, and the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, through the activity and the working of Satan, and we be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, and by unlimited seduction to evil with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they did not welcome the truth. See, that's for those that are perishing. For they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it that they might be saved. So anyway, So now, what's the King James says in verse 1? Just read it.
Now we beseech you, brethren, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him,
Okay. But anyway, I was looking for a certain word.
Two says that you soon be not shaken.
Yeah, be not.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay, so anyway. But here in Thessalonians, it's speaking of this time and this age, the age of the coming of the Lord. Now, we all have callings, right?
Yes.
We have callings, you know, in certain areas, some in the fivefold ministry, some to certain profession. People are called to nations. People are called to certain assignments, you know, certain realms. But guess what? We also are called to an age. And so, and with every age, there are weapons, there are spiritual weapons, and there are angels that are assigned to age, and there are demons that are assigned to ages. There are demons that are assigned to this age we're in right now, but there are also angels assigned, and there are also weapons and strategies that are there in the spirit realm that we have to go to the unseen and get just for this age. There's wisdom. We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that wisdom has been preserved for this age. All right? All right? So now, we looked at here, and so we are called to this age. Yeah. And so now we look here and where Paul talks about this spirit of lawlessness and how that the church has to restrain it. So now let's go to Matthew 18. And this is a very familiar scripture, but it bears us laying our eyes on it this morning. Truly, Matthew 18:18, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Truly, I tell you, now, enough is enough. Is that your phone? Stop it right now.
No, this is my baby thing.
Oh. Okay. Because I know the devil. He'll use the little thing. And your baby is not the devil, but I'm just saying. Is that Crystal? Get out. Crystal. You better not let. I'm like, enough is enough. So. All right. So truly I tell you, whatever you forbid, and now he's talking to the church. Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony about whatever. Not just about any small thing, not just about any big thing. Whatever it is, if we come into agreement together, anything and everything we ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there I am in the midst of them. You said, well, then why, Sister Iva, it doesn't happen? Because you don't know your authority.
Amen.
And then if you do know it, then it's laying down somewhere. You see. You know a gun in the gun cabinet ain't going to shoot nobody. That's why I know trying to get rid of guns ain't going to solve the issue. I never known a gun. My daddy was a gun guy. He collected guns. He had a gun cabinet. They were full of guns. They were locked up. And while they was in there, they never shot nothing.
It's true.
That gun, those guns never went off until my dad went in there, got that key, unlocked it, and got one. Would go outside and be practicing. He'd shoot a bird sometimes or whatever. That's the only time. But those guns never got up themselves and went anywhere and shot nothing. So now, I want to go back and just so you see here, this authority. If Jesus said this, then it's true. If in this Bible, it's true.
Amen.
Whatever we ask, if we got this operating right, whatever we ask, God's going to do it. Now, I told you before, and I told the group before, I have a friend out of state, and years ago, I got a phone call from her. Her son had done something, was guilty, and was sentenced to sentenced for 20 years in prison. So she called me. She was all distraught, and she was telling me everything he did, and I was like, gee, yikes. And she said, well, I just asked you to agree with me. You know, I don't know what to do. She said, he's guilty. And she said, I just don't know what to do. And while she was talking to me, the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell her, you'll take the assignment and tell her he's not going to go to prison, not one day. Everything was going to be, you know, exonerated, whatever the word is. And I responded, I'm not telling them that. I'm not telling her that. Because, number one, my head didn't believe it. Because I'm listening to what she done told me.
Right.
All that. I'm like, hey, anybody, you know, that you do that, you go to prison.
Right.
But the Lord spoke to me. And then another thing is, he said for me to take the assignment. I didn't want to do it. Because I know what it was going to take to get something done. I was going to have to make up in my mind that I was going to do whatever it take, not just do my best. You don't win battles doing your best. You win battles doing whatever it takes. So I knew what it was going to take on those kind of prayer assignments. I've been on prayer assignments before. And Lord said, tell you to take the assignment. I said, you got to be kidding me. But I'm not going to disobey God. So I told her, I said, so-and-so, I'll take the assignment. And she said, well, I don't believe what you said. I said, I know you don't. But it's okay. So she said, well, I don't even have faith for it. I can't pray for it. I said, well, can you just, get on the phone with me on some Saturday? I said, I'm going to be praying, like I do. I'm going to take the assignment. I'm going to do what I know to do with assignments. But why don't you just get on me and on the phone with me on Saturdays at 9:00 and just pray with me so you can hear me pray and maybe faith will come because we'll have to go over the word. And she agreed. And so we did it. 1 year went by. I think the first year, we didn't see really much of nothing. And 2 years went by. And I think 2 years and about a couple of months, we began to see a little headway. But it didn't bother me because I had the word on it. God spoke to me. I know I heard God. You know, and sometimes, she would ask me, are you sure? I said, Bert, listen to me. Yes, I'm sure. She said, all right, you beautiful thing. I'm going to hang in here. No, that's what she always tell me. She said, I'm going to hang in there. I said, hang in there. 4 years. 4 years. Through the process of things, because God would give words like, we got a word. I gave a word about how he was going to get those people out of the judicial system. He changed, got judges and things out, put other ones in. And so now every time he went to court, he was supposed to go. She said, they dismissed the case. We got to go back. They put it all there. They kept putting it off. He never spent one day in jail during that course of time.
Wow.
Not on that watch. Not one day. Because they'll put it off. Or something else will happen. And something else. So now she's down Thomas now believing.
Yeah.
And see, I feel the Holy Ghost. And so she said, and he was believing too, now. Because he said, oh my God, Mom. And so he, at the end of those 4 years, you can't tell him nothing about Iva Bennett. You can forget it. He don't want to hear it. And so my girlfriend said, and so she was like, I didn't believe it. I just didn't believe it. But she said, oh my goodness. But everything, just like God said, I didn't say it. You think I'm going to tell somebody something like that? All that stuff she was telling me? And see, that's how come you can't prophesy.
That's right.
You got to prophesy. You got to hear from God.
Right.
And you got to get a real word. Don't be come telling me God have a plan for my life. Everybody knows that. Give me something real definite. But you see how real this is?
Yes.
And God said, tell her that he will not go to prison and it's going to be all erased and you take the assignment. But see, you got to be willing to trust God and get up off your lazy butts and do something about it. See, because I wasn't going to play with this. And I had to get up. And I didn't tell her that I was getting up. And I got to get me up in the middle of the night. I didn't tell her that. Because I didn't want her trying to do it. Because she didn't have faith for it anyway. And I didn't want to wear her out because she would have felt bad. No, because she's in the flesh. She would have felt bad. It's her son. Here I am. I'm getting up. And she ain't doing nothing because she don't believe it's going to happen. I didn't tell her. But I prayed with her on Saturday and encouraged her. Do what God say for 4 years. But God, what God said happened. And I'm telling you to this day. So after it was over, she said, oh, he's a great cook. I mean, he can cook collard greens better than my mama. And she said, you got to come out. He want to cook you a meal. He want to do something for you. So I said, okay. So I think I went out that year like in September. And, you know, so we get there and we were laughing about it. Now, he done made arrangement for me to pray for all his, you know. Turn this off. Turn it off right now. So he done made arrangements. Tell me when I'm off.